I tell you right now, Ben, y'all keep on, and Scott, y'all just keep on, and Becky, Mom and Dad, I tell you what, Will, over these years, y'all been coming, what, about 25 years here. Y'all don't know what a blessing y'all been to me. I love you. Appreciate seeing these little kids up here sing. That little girl lift her hand up for Jesus. I'm telling you right now, Lord, to make us want to run and shout a little bit. Amen. I'm telling you, it's good. It's good to see a family serving the Lord. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach on passing the baton of wisdom, but the Lord changed my heart after today and everything. And I really think here's evidence of that. Here's a little key to that. If you don't possess it and practice it, you can't pass it. It won't pass. I remember hearing about old lady up there, and she come to the door, and she had, you could tell she was on the level because both her sides was running down, you know. And fella, he's a super duper vacuum clean seller. And so I opened the door, and he knew how. Just stick your foot in the door. And I'll tell you right now, he's one of them super seven. He just threw a bunch of dirt right there on the floor and said, if I cannot get that up, every speck of it, so you can have this vacuum cleaner. She just pulled out of his hand, closed the door. Well, he knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and she said, could I help you? He said, but, well, you didn't give me a chance. She said, honey, I don't have electricity. You ain't going to get that up. You better watch out where you go try to sell. Amen. But aren't you glad for God's goodness? Oh, my, how good it's been, and how that I have enjoyed this. Every message has just been an encouragement and help to me. I told my wife, I chatted with her and told her that I'd just been so helped and so blessed and encouraged. And I've been kind of in a dilemma. I've been thinking about going on to watch the ball game tomorrow at Memphis. My grandson plays, and they play Army, Navy, and they play Navy tomorrow. And but I sent my ticket to my brother David. Now, some of you know David. And so I think I'm going to go back home. I was going to call my son and get him to preach, and because time I got there and got back, it'd be, well, dark 30. And but anyway, I'm glad I got to come here. Glad I got to see you. Got Brother Steve, we've been friends. Listen, his daddy, Walt Wagers, at his funeral, Brother Mundy said, how many of you that have been saved under the ministry of Brother Walt Wagers? And I bet you it's 200 people. You was there. Over 200 people. And when they stood, they didn't just stand. They started shouting. They shouted all over that place. I tell you, brother, his daddy was a soul winner and a man of God. I tell you, I love Brother Walt. I love Brother Steve. And so good to see him again. Glad he got to get here. And take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 4. Fourth chapter of the book of Acts. And I'm going to share a message tonight. The subject is be an encourager. Be an encourager. And I'll tell you what, I want to leave here. I sure don't want to be a discourager. I don't want to leave here and somebody say, man, he made everybody mad. Well, now, I think sometimes some people need to be made mad. But I think people need to be made glad, and some need to be made sad. But I believe that people ought to come and be encouraged and lifted up and helped in the Lord. In the book of Acts, chapter number 4, I want to read just in a minute some verses there. Verse 32 following, the Bible speaks of the gift of encouragement. And this is a wonderful gift, but some may say, well, I don't possess that gift. I don't have the gift of encouragement. Well, do you know that God commands you to be an encourager? We read in Hebrews 3:13, it says, but exhort one another, that is, encourage one another, daily, every 24 hours, and while it's called today. And so, you know, in the marriage class I was teaching, I taught the little O-W-E, just O-W-E, one word every day. Just to say to our spouse, one word every day, O-W-E. And every 24 hours, give him a word of encouragement. Now, here's a man. His name is Barnabas. He was an encourager. I'm telling you, in fact, he was nicknamed. Do you have a nickname? Some people still call me by my nickname. And if I hear somebody say Pinky, Now, that's my nickname in high school. In fact, my girlfriend, who is now my wife, when we were dating, she didn't really know my first name. And she said to her mother when I went over there to meet her, said, "This is Pinky." She said, "Pinky?" And, but we probably, every one of us have a nickname. And here was a man that had a nickname, and his nickname was Barnabas. Heard about a fellow named Tex, and he had this nickname. The guy said to Tex, everybody called him Tex. Said, "Tex, where are you from? Whereabouts in Texas you from?" And he said, "I'm not from Texas." He said, "Well, why does everybody call you Tex?" He said, "I'm from Louisiana." And he said, "The reason why everybody calls me Tex," he said, "I didn't want to be called Louise." And I guess that's pretty good. But here's a man that had a nickname, and I guess today we'd probably call him Barney. And he was a godly man. Look at verse number 34. And I'll begin reading there. "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need." And Joseph, that was his name, and his real name was Joseph, and we'd probably call him Joe today. And here he laid this at the apostles' feet. The Bible said he was surnamed Barnabas, and that just simply means that he was the son of consolation. He was an encourager. And oh, thank God for the son of encouragement. Lady met the pastor of the aisle, said to him, said, "Well, I know what my spiritual gift is." And pastor said, "Well, thank the Lord. He'd been doing the spiritual gifts." And she said, "What is it, sister?" She said, "Criticism." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. That's not one of the spiritual gifts." Now, I know a lot of people may think they have that gift, but you know, you know what? Isn't it something how it's so easy to criticize and run somebody down rather than build somebody up? I told them when I come where I was at and where I've been that last 20 years at Guttings Baptist Church there, I said, "This is not going to be beat them up. It's going to be build them up. This is not going to be at the corner of Blues and Brew Street." And you know, because sometimes you go to meetings. I've been to camp meetings where, I tell you, I was sitting on the front row. I was sitting right on the front row, and a preacher walked out. He walked across the state. He said, "Bless God, I've walked over better than you looking for a fight." That's what he said. That's what come out of his mouth. Now, he didn't know me. We'll get on that. But I wasn't there looking for, I was looking for help. And I was looking for some encouragement in the Lord. And you know, come out in the pulpit and do like this. Run up there in the pulpit and say, "Bless God." Well, who in the world? I didn't come tonight to fight. I come tonight to help and encourage one another. But I tell you what, I've been around. A fellow got right down my face. He's preaching one time. And he said, I said amen. He got right down my nose. He wouldn't have got me to say amen. I'll tell you right now, if he'd have knocked me off that pew, I wasn't going to say amen because it wasn't true. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. I didn't say anything. I just sat there and looked him right in the eye. By the way, I was bigger than him anyway. But I wasn't going to say amen. But I've been around where you didn't get encouraged. You got beat up instead of you got to be built up. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about encouragement. And here's a man that was an encourager. And I hope you leave here tonight. And I hope you will be encouraged in the Lord. There's some people that are not encouragers or discouragers. And they're like a drink of water to a drowning man. They can brighten the room by leaving it, you know. And they leave you drained and depressed. And you may have been around people like that. Stories told of the devil had a garage sale, and he was selling everything like bitterness and envy and strife and jealousy and lies. But one thing over here he had, he said, "Not for sale." And somebody there that was looking around said, "Why is that not for sale?" And it was discouragement. And this is what the devil said. He said, "Well, I'll tell you why that's not for sale. Because when everything else fails, that works." Now, I want to tell you right now, have you ever been discouraged? I mean, have you ever been discouraged? Listen, I've been discouraged, and I've got my wife discouraged. And I've been discouraged and got my family discouraged. And I'll tell you what, when I get discouraged, I'll tell you, now some people don't want to eat. I want to eat everything in the house. Sometimes I want to eat my hand. I just, you get discouraged, and
And sometimes I get in the mood where I just want to go. You ever had a pity party? I mean, I walked up to my office and I was having a pity party and I didn't even open the door. I think I just walked under. And you know, when a pity party, there's only two who show up. It's you and the devil, because the Lord don't attend that. And I've had one. You probably have too. And there's times we've all been discouraged. And the Bible tells us that God himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, he's the God of all consolation. And he's a God of encouragement. And he's cornered the market on encouragement. And all the encouragement comes from God. And I want to tell you what, if encouragement comes from God, discouragement comes from the devil. And the devil can discourage. You know what? Somebody back at the door, fellow one time, he's going to be cute, and everybody was coming by, and I thought we had a good day, and he said, "Well, I've never heard anybody go any deeper and come up any drier in my life." Well, that didn't help me out. But you know, there are people who can discourage you, and they're discouragers, and that doesn't help God's people. So here we find that all comforts. There are five things I want to give you quickly on that. First of all, he was an encourager in finances. Right here is a man who, great persecution against the church. There were people that had their goods confiscated. There were people that were hiding in secret places. I mean, they were going through a hard, difficult times and everything. And old Barney saw this and he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got some land over here. I'll sell that land and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just lay it at the apostles' feet. I'll say, now you make distribution. You use that however you see fit." Isn't it wonderful that we got people like that? And I want to tell you what, this church was going through some things. And by the way, you're going to find the devil comes in, and what he couldn't do on the outside, now he's going to move on the inside, because there's going to be two in there trying to counterfeit that. In chapter number 5, but I'll tell you, God brings divine discipline to the church. And I'm going to tell you what, after you find the Bible twice in chapter 5, there's great fear came upon the church. Great fear came upon the church. And you know what? The world outside didn't join themselves. But I'm going to tell you what, God multiplied and God did some mighty and great, great things. And Barnabas here was a wealthy man, and God used him to help in this area. It's wonderful when things... He saw some people had a heavy load, going through a difficult time, and he was a blessing. He was able to find that there's somebody that might be going through something that they may need a set of tires for the car. They just might be going through a difficult time. They may not be able to buy the groceries or the medicine they need, but isn't it wonderful to be able to help somebody that goes through something like this, and you just come on the scene. You said, "Pastor, if I give them what I have, I may not have enough when I need it myself." Did you know it's not what you keep in the barn? It's what multiplies, but it's what you sow that multiplies. Oh, I'm telling you right now, it's wonderful to be able to give. Give, I love this. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom, for with the same measure that meet withal shall it be measured to you again." I was pastoring in New Washington, Indiana. And I've been having some trouble in the church there. And we had some sin in the church. But we had a family in there, a large family. And the family, I said, "I want the right to put Sunday school teacher." "Oh, no, we voted blood, sweat, and tears. We put those." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to pastor the church that I know there's things going on, and I knew there's adultery being committed, and there was deacons in there that they knew it too, but they wouldn't stand with me." And so you know what? I said, "Well, you'll vote for me or you'll vote for the Constitution." You know what? This at the back door passing out constitutions, going around everybody saying, well, now that's what I was facing. And by the way, I had too much month at the end of my money. You ever been there? You ever been when you outgo exceeds your income and your upkeep becomes your downfall? Well, I was there. Our children were going to school at Madison Christian School, about 22 miles away. So I took them. I was taking them back and forth to school, and I looked, and I had about an eighth of a tank of gas. And I knew that I wasn't going to have five children, my little daughter and four boys, and cold winter. Up in Indiana, And I was driving up through there. My wife said, "Don't take children to school, honey." I said, "You don't." I said, "Honey, I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God." She gets mad. She said, "Oh, go ahead. You can't tell you anything." That's the kind of way it left. And I went to school that morning praying. I said, I got every one of them to pray in the car. And we was praying. Just kind of out over our snubbing a little bit and saying, "God, I don't know how you're going to work this out." I didn't know a person at church I could borrow a dollar from. I tried to think about somebody, and I said, "No, they're mad at me. And no, they're mad at me. If I could just get $2, I believe it'd be enough." And brother, I came back down that road. You're talking about discouraged. You're talking about down. I'm telling you, and I got in there, and that's when I had that pity party. And I went in my office, and I got down there, and all of a sudden, I just said, "God, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to trust you. Lord, I don't have gas. I don't have anything. Lord, and I've got to go back and get my children. And God, you make a way." I heard a horn blow. And I went out, and our church was kind of high up. And I looked down. There was a guy there and had his moon-rimmed glasses on. He said, "Come down here." And I went down there and I looked, and he said, "You know, remember me?" Well, I didn't until he pulled the glasses down. Now, remember, we worked upon the roof, and we took the roof off, and it's a real steep, high church. And we took the roof off, and I asked him one day, I said, "Now, I'm afraid of heights, but you want me to work out there? Because if you fall," I'd witness to him, he said he wouldn't say. I said, "If you fall off there," I said, "you're going to go into eternity. You're not prepared." And he said, "No, I'll work out here." And I remember he kept asking questions, and I kept witnessing to him, talking to him. Well, that was him. And he looked at me and he said, "I just want to come by and tell you, me and my wife's been going to church down here." And he said, we're really, said there's a lot of things. He didn't say saved, but he just slipped something out, and I saw it was a $100 bill. When he slipped that $100 bill out, and he said, "Here, I want you to have this." He said, "Thank you." All said, "I can't take it." Boy, I no more said that under my breath. I said, "Oh God, don't let him take that back." And he said, "Yeah, I want you to have it." Boy, he turned and he went out. And I said, "I'm praying for you." Man, I stood there and I just got to squalling, kicking gravels and just shouting, praising God. Running around there in the parking lot. If you'd have come by, you'd say, "That guy's not." And I won't tell you what, I went home. My wife still had her hair curled up and had her, had her house coat on. And she was going through the, and she walked by me and she didn't say a word. Come back by again and I just go, "Wait a minute." She said, "How are you going to get them children home?" I said, "What if I told you I had $100 in my pocket?" She said, "Sure." And I pulled that $100 bill out and I showed her, and she said, "Honey, where'd you get that at?" And I said, "Honey, I was over there praying, and I know you're upset, and I was upset, and I love you. God loves both of us." I said, "God's just done something wonderful. He sent a guy by, it's not even saved, of course I know." And I said, "You go ahead and you get ready. You go ahead and get ready. We're going to go pick the kids up." Normally, we had just a little Ford Fairlane getting 7, and that was a crowd. Well, here comes, she jumps in there. We go up there. We go to the Sirloin Stockade in Madison. And, we did that later. Got there to the school, and, it was kind of, we're just a few minutes late. I see there's a big old, like this right here, and it's all fogged up, cold. And I saw my little kids who looked like orphans thinking, "We're going to be left here, going to be abandoned." Boy, when I pulled up, here they come running out. My wife's sitting there crying, and they said, "Mom, what's wrong? What are you doing here?" And I got to crying, and they got in. They didn't know what to think. They said, "Mom, Dad, what's going on?" I said, "I'll tell you what's going on." And I began to tell them what went on. I said, "We're going over to Sirloin Stockade." And I said, "We're going to get one of them hamburger steaks and all the salad you can eat for $2.99. Might have been $3 now. I believe it's $2.99. And they couldn't believe it. But we got over there, and my boy Bobby, he just got this chin just quivering. He said, "Boy, ain't God good, Daddy." I said, "You know what? Steak and tears is good." Oh, I'm telling you, thank God that man came by and helped me in a moment there. I'm telling you, when I've had it happen so many times. First church I pastored, I'm telling you right now, Grandma Cheatham used to come by. That sweet, dear old lady. And you know what she do when somebody gets saved? Grandma would say, "Well, the devil's mad and I'm glad. Glory, hallelujah. Lost a soul he thought he had. Glory, hallelujah." She'd say, "Shout, shout. We're gaining ground, children. Glory, hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you right now, you're talking about encouraging. One morning I saw her sat down by a lost fellow. I knew he was lost. One of them old field workers. And he was sitting there and he was so uncomfortable. And I preached hellfire and damnation. And I looked at her and she was patting him on the hands. He said, honey. She said, honey, he loves you. God loves you and I love you. Listen, he's telling you. Listen what he's telling you. And I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes, I'll tell you what, that old boy got saved. I knew he couldn't get away from God and the Holy Ghost and Grandma. Brother, I'll tell you right now. And she'd get up there and lead us in a cheer and thanking God. But, oh, how many times she'd say, you know, I went in there in the store today. She said, if I like bacon, my preacher likes bacon. Woo! Said, if I like coffee, my preacher likes it. And she just got me a whole thing and brought them over to that. Invited us over. She made the best dumplings you ever put in your mouth. And I'm telling you right now, she invited me and my wife over. And I'll tell you what, we moved in a place, 714 East McNeil Street, a member. And it was the sewer of everything. It's low place. I didn't know that. When it rained, I'm telling you, my kids were jumping off the bed in an indoor swimming pool. My little wife, listen, our truck, U-Haul, was still sitting out there. And she said, honey, you think we might go back home? And I looked at her and I saw that furniture and everything sitting there in that water. And I said, honey, we can't quit now. We can't quit now. Honey, we can't quit now. And she said, well, you do whatever God leads you to. But she said, this is about to kill me. And I just hugged her and held her. Well, the kids thought it was wonderful. They just having the time of their life, you know, and everything. But, oh, God, let us go through some things. And I look back on that now, and I see it was boot camp. God was testing. God was trying. And you know what? God's been so good to us. Oh, just thank God for people who's come along and helped me. And I know people have come along and helped you. And thank God for those people that love and share. And, you know, you may have something to some. Now you say, well, I don't have any money. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have love? Do you know an old couple could just stand for somebody to come by and visit with them? My daughter worked for a couple, and she said their house don't even hardly get dirty. But she said, they just won't sit there and talk to me. And they said, we just want you to keep coming as long as we live. And she did, as long as they lived. And she would just go over there to see that couple. It just meant so much to them. And you know what? Do you have the ability to read to some child that's having trouble reading? Help some child that, and to help them, to encourage him, to help with some math problem or something like that. To write a card, send a letter, do something for somebody that would just encourage him, lift him up and help them. You know what? My heart wept. I thought about brother. Brother Broughton leaving the day and said his wife kept, Miss B was asking, when is our anniversary? And what are we going to do? He told her maybe 25, 30 times or more. And you see somebody like that, and I'm going to tell you what, Brother Broughton come here, but he said, I've got to go home to my sweetheart. Got to go to home to that one I love and one who loves me. And I'm going to tell you right now, it means so much. Oh, to encourage and help. And there might be somebody that's discouraged. Might be somebody that's down. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-hearted, support the weak, be patient toward all men. You know, there's some people that's mad and upset and everything, but you know what they need. Sometimes just putting your arm around them, loving them. I'll tell you one thing, it's hard to cuss you when you're a little crying and you show real love. And then it's hard for them to say things. Oh, maybe God would have you do something and use him. They called him Barney. Oh, what an encourager he was. And just a blessing. Then I want you to see he was not only an encourager in finances, but he's an encourager in fellowship. Look at Acts chapter 9. I've got to hurry here. Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 23 through 27. Acts chapter 9, look at verse number 27. And here we find he was an encourager several times. I'm going to show you here. 9th chapter, look at verse number 27. The Bible said, and he, as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And here we find, am I reading right? I think I'm in chapter 10, chapter 9, verse number 27. I was in chapter 10, excuse me. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him. That's Paul. Oh, Saul, everybody's afraid of, who made a living killing Christians. But something changed this man that he was willing to lay down his life for the very cause of Christ. He was an encourager in fellowship. He reached out to Paul here, a persecutor, now a preacher. And then not only in friendship, Barnabas reached out, but in fellowship. Look at chapter 11. Look at chapter 11. Look at verse 22. 11 chapter, look at verse number 22. Now you know here that there's having a revival. And they didn't know where's wildfire or real fire. And they said, who can we send up there? Well, look at verse 22 of chapter 11. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as to Antioch, who when he came and had seen, you can see the grace of God. I'm looking at it tonight. And was glad and exhorted, encouraged all with one purpose of heart, that they should cleave unto the Lord. And he was a good man. Man, wouldn't you like to have that written on your tombstone? He's a good man. And full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. And Barnabas said, I'll tell you what, how in the world am I going to help all these believers? He said, I know a man. He goes over there and gets old Saul, brings him over there, and I'm going to tell you what, Paul, God used him to preach. And you see that there for a whole year in verse number 26. The Bible said when they had found him, brought him to Antioch, that is Paul, and it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Oh, here in fellowship, I'm telling you, you know what, as the church grows and there's wonderful fellowship, but if you're not careful, you know what, your church can become like a country club for members only. And you can almost become a sacred society for snubbing sinners. You know, one lady walked over and said, I'm sorry, but you're in my seat. To a visitor. but you know, it's just like, and it's easy to talk to people you know, but to get around to shaking at, people want to be wanted and welcome without being watched. They don't want to be watched. They want to come in and feel at home, and the friendship and the fellowship. Oh, how they need that loved, received, and welcome. Nobody knows them. Nobody believes in them. So sometimes it's not easy to shake hands and fellowship with them. Romans 15, verse 5 through 7. Now God of patience and consolation, that's the word, listen to it. The God of comfort grant to you be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Oh, here he said God is saying comfort one another. It's one of them one another words. And he said, now, don't reject them, receive them. Do you know somebody's been rejected? Now, there's some people that's not easy to get along. There's other people get along. You get along with easy. But all here in finances and fellowship, he was an encourager. But then also, he was an encourager in fellowship. Fellowship. Look in chapter 13. Look at verse number 13, Acts 13, 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, notice this, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now here's the fellowship. Now here's what I want you to see. Look at verse number 43 and notice how this changes. Notice how this all changes. In verse number 43. Here the Bible says, same chapter, verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, and many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed, whose name's first? Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, Mr. Spurgeon said, it takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well. I believe he just said, listen, God's got his hand on you, Paul. You do the preaching. I'll lead the singing. I'll help work with those at the altar and help out. But he was just willing to fit in wherever. Boy, when you got somebody like that, I'm telling you, oh, thank God. You know what? Some people, how to be a follower, everybody has somebody over them, and you have somebody under you. And if you don't know how to follow the one who's over you, you'll never work with those who are under you. And I promise you, that's the case with a lot of people. Really learning to lead is listening, is learning to follow. And follow the leadership of the church. You know, sometimes, there's people that they just want their 2 cents worth in. I mean, the leadership of the church says this is the direction we're going to go. And just, in fact, we had a business meeting Sunday night. And we had a parking lot. We bought a large building, a 10,000 square foot building. We bought another building about, it's probably 40 by 80. And so this is where we're doing our Bible publishing, our printing ministry. And also we do some other stuff over there and homecoming. And we got a lot of room over there to do a lot of things. But part of the parking lot had just deteriorated, and they had to repair it and fix it. It was going to lose it. So one of the deacons said, preacher, if we don't do that, and he said, the man, if he can't get to it now, he probably won't get to it because he's got some other jobs. So we went ahead and had it done. And then we voted on it Sunday night. And we'd already done it. And one lady went over to one of our deacons and said, when did we start doing things before we voted on them? Now, we had the money. But you know what? She's not happy. She's got that gift of criticism. And it's, if it ain't one thing, it's another. I'm telling you. And, it's just loving people like that's not easy. They're just causing, stirring things up. The leadership of the church, follow your pastor. You know what the pastor's to do? The Bible said God gave the evangelist, pastor, teacher for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What he's saying here, God gave the pastor to encourage the people, to edify, build up, and to equip them. Now, you know what? If somebody walked through that door and said, I want to talk to the minister, first person you'd take them to is Brother Richardson. But really, you're a minister. God said that the pastor, listen, for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the men. Who does the work of the men? He can't do all the work of the ministry. Oh, we just give him a raise. You know, that's the idea. We'll give him more money. I'll tell you what, we'll hire some staff to do the job. God, you cannot hire somebody to do what God told you to do. And brother, what we need to do is do what, with our spiritual gift that God has given us, exercise it, use it in the body. Now, there's 3 things you can do for him, for your pastor. First of all, pray for him. You know what Paul said? He said in Ephesians chapter 6 there, after he talks about the armor of God, he said now, he talks about that prayer and goes through that and how that canopy of prayer. And then he says, for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for him. And then you can protect him. Don't talk about it. Don't let others talk about it. And you know what? I remember a lady called me and she said, that's been years ago. And so she said, well, I just got word they're dancing over Tennessee Temple. I said, that's a lie. I just called her a liar. I said, that's a lie. That's not true. I don't know who told you that. That's not true. She said, well, I know this person is a reliable. I said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to call Dr. Lee Robson. I'll let you know. I called Dr. Robson and the secretary said, listen, you, and I didn't go to school there. I grew up in Chattanooga. I was a bus kid there at Highland Park. But I knew as a lie. And I said, look, can I ask you a question? She said, he's so busy, there's no way. I said, are you allowing dancing? I thought she swallowed her teeth. Dancing? Tennessee Temple? She said, no way. So I was about to call her back, and she called me back. She said, I was wrong about that. She said, that person said they heard that. They're not sure. I said, you know what? You can't write. I don't know who else you've told. But I'm going to tell you what. If somebody tells you something that you know is a lie, don't you sit there and listen to it. You stand up. If they start criticizing, attacking the character, and assassinating the character of somebody, stand up and say, brother, first of all, sister, let's pray for them. And let's go to them, because I want you to tell them what you're about to tell. Oh, no. Be like that woman talked about everybody in the church. I mean, she talked about everybody. Come to the preacher and said, what can I do? You talking about a busybody. He said, get you a hen. Go pull a feather off and lay it at the gate of everywhere you've talked about somebody. That thing was picked and clean and ready to eat. She said, I've got it. I did that. He said, well, now go back and collect all. She said, I can't. He said, neither can you ever undo the wrong. You know what? There's some people that have said things and their children heard it at the table. And you know what? They've said things on the way home from church. Preacher's preaching to me today when that person was guilty as a convict. And a man of God stood in the pulpit under the power of God in compassion and loved them enough to tell them the truth. And they turn their kids and they wonder why. We raised them in church. But you know what? When they got old, they just run away. You know why? I know why. Because, brother, listen, they had fried preacher every day. Listen, I'm going to tell you, watch what you say. Be careful, pray, protect, and then provide for him. I know you do. You take care of him. And we see that God used him a great way. And then here's the, not only in fellowship, but in fellowship of the church. And the leadership of the church. But now in you know, some people are active and inactive. Some people are serving and some people sitting. Some people are participators and some are spectators. Now, I've seen this, and see, if I'm wrong, please help me, pastors. You've pastored a person who was a sitter can become a quitter, and a quitter can become a splitter. I've seen it happen. A sitter becomes a... They sit there and they sit down and then they start talking and all of a sudden, a sitter who becomes a quitter becomes a splitter. And they are damaged the whole body of Christ. Here a while back, I'm telling you what, we had a lady and she's told some things she should have never opened her mouth about, and I'm telling you, we have a large, large family in the church, and it done untold damage. And it's still, the damage has not been healed yet. A lot of it's been healed. But oh, she had to say some things. And she had, and you know what? She's saying it about her best friend. Watch out who your friends are. You know what? Are you an optimist or a pessimist? There's a man who had two little boys, and one of them was an optimist. I mean, nothing. Everything was good. That he just happy, sing. You couldn't make him mad or sad. And the other, the little pessimist, you couldn't make him glad for nothing. That's the way, I mean, just, well, come Christmas time, he got the largest presents, most beautiful boxes and wrapping and everything. And he got all those big, large gifts and set them over there for the little pessimist. And then for the optimist, he got some horse manure. And he put it in a stocking and put it up on the mantle by the fireplace. And so here they come down Christmas morning. And his daddy said, looky there, what you got? He just sat down on the steps and looked at him and said, well, after I unwrap them, I won't like them. And he said, if I don't like them, he said, I'll be worse off. I had never even looked at them. And here he went. He said, oh, okay, all right, you go over there, you get your son. And he go over there, and he got that, pulled that sack of horse manure down, and he looked in there, and he went, woo-hoo, woo! He run around the house, and his daddy come outside and said, boy, what in the world are you doing? He said, daddy, where's that pony at? I know there's a pony out here somewhere. I'm going to tell you what, you can be a pessimist or you can be an optimist. And I just want to be an optimist, don't you? Thank God. Oh, he was an encourager in spite of failure. We know John Mark, and I'll give you this quickly. Look at chapter 13, verse 13. And here John Mark quit, went back, got cold feet, went home to mama. Look at chapter 13, and look at verse 13. And the Bible tells us here, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos and from Perga and Pamphylia, John departing, that's John Mark, from them returned to Jerusalem. We don't know why, but he departed. Here's his departing. Now, here's Barnabas. He's going to take him with him. And we see in chapter 15, look at verse 37. So he comes, and they're about to go on the second missionary journey. And here we see Barnabas' determination. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, and Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from him at Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention, now have you ever saw two Jewish people really get, now I've been to Israel a couple of times, they get in one another's face, they're actually spitting on one another. And the contention was really sharp between them. And they departed asunder from the other. And Barnabas took Mark and Paul took Silas. And they leave. And it really broke the heart of Barnabas here. And we see here that, you know, he said, now I'm going to take him. And he said, no, he's not going. Not going with us. And not only did Paul, here's the next thing I want to look at. He was an encourager in forgiveness. In chapter 13, verse 36 through 39, I won't take time to read them. Jot them down if you want to. In chapter 36 through 39, here's a life of failures. John Mark had failed. He had quit. He'd gone back. And Barney reached over and said, I'll take him. He took this failure. He took this one that was a quitter. And he said, he's going with me. And by the way, he gave us the second book of the Bible, didn't he? Yes, sir. Boy, you think about that. There's a lot of people. Somebody would just put their arm around them, encourage them, and help them. There's no telling where they'd be today. And you know what? I believe later, Paul learned a lesson. He wrote about it. Galatians 6:1, brother, if any man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. You know what? Do you know someone who used to be a member of this church that they're not here now? Do you know someone who quit and somebody who may be a failure? And they're looking at themselves and think, it's over for me in the church. Do you know anything? Somebody's lost their job. You know anybody who's ruined their marriage? You know anyone who's disgraced himself? And for you to show up and love them and hug them and tell them you're praying for them. Paul said, ye which are spirits, restore such a one in spirit of meekness. Be a Barnabas to that person. I was in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I was staying in Siler City, where Aunt B's from there. Staying there, preaching tent revival over at Pittsburgh. I'd gone 1 week. Blew my throat out in that open air. My brother Steve, he came over. He was in Greensboro. And he came down. And so I said, brother, Mike, you mind if Steve preaches tonight? I said, I believe it'd help my throat. And he said, no, that'd be wonderful. Steve preached that night. Boy, brought a wonderful message. During that night, Steve preached on forgiveness. I remember it now. Brother Steve Allen was sitting up here. He's playing him. Sharon was there. They were singing. They were there the whole 2 weeks. And Steve preached, and he said, I was preaching in my church. That's when he was in Rossville, Georgia. And he said, I preached that night a message on forgiveness. He said, our church, we had some people that had been at outs for years. They caused two or three preachers on down the line problems. But he said, I felt the Spirit of God in that place so much. And he said, when I give the invitation about forgiveness, and he said, I saw some of them come to the altar. And he said, I saw a lady I'd never seen before in the service, and she came up and she knelt. And after she got through, people still around the altar, she said, "Pastor, can I say a word?" And Steve said, "Why, sure, ma'am." She said, "You know this certain street out here?" And she said, "You know, there's a stop sign on one side, but not on the other." And she said, "I was coming down through there," and she said, "a man run the stop sign. And said he hit me, and I was almost full term with my little baby. We'd already had a nursery at the house. And said, he hit me, and she said, when I woke up, I was in a puddle of blood in the floorboard. And she said, I lost my little baby. And she said, when I see you women hold little babies and go, I go to the nursery and I see you hold them, I can't ever have a baby. And she said, I want to tell you what. She said, I have said, I wish that man was dead. I wish he was in hell. I can't wait till he dies. She said, listen, tonight, I don't want him to die. I don't want him to go to hell. I forgive him." Steve told that. There was a man there by the name of Earl. Earl was in a wheelchair. Let me tell you the story of Earl. He had a little old leg right here. His leg would probably be about as big as my thumb. And his little foot would be about a third as big as my pinky. And that's what he had. The other one was cut off all the way up to here. And Earl came down and rode down that wheelchair. And when he did, I went down there. I was down there already. Steve was preaching. And I walked over and I put my arm around him. And I said, "Earl, can I pray with you?" He'd been there every night. He said, "I live over there in the nursing home." And he said, "I probably smell like pee." He said, "I try to get as clean as I can." But he said, "You know, right out here on this road, this highway, I was 2.5 years old and a drunk hit me, knocked me out in the field, and they found me laying out there many hours later." And he said, "This is what," he took it little, looked like as limber as it could be. And he showed me, said, "I'm right here." He said, "I'm in this wheelchair. My mom and daddy was killed. And I don't have no family. I went from this place to that place." And he said, "I've thought about how I'd kill him." He said, "I've contemplated night. My mind was on killing that man." He said, I thought about the day he'll die and go to hell and he'll burn in hell for what he'd done. But that night, and I'm going to tell you, that church had some problems. He said, "I don't want him to go to hell. I forgive him." When he did, Steve Allen got up and he started working his way off. And Steve came down. I can just see him now. And he just working his way off. He come down there. And brother, he cried out like you'd hit him with a 2x4. He said, "Oh God." And Earl cried out. He said, "God, I forgive him. I forgive him." Well, I'm going to tell you, that night, I saw people go to other people. Go to the pastor. The pastor go to them. And I want to tell you right now, I told Steve, I said, "I believe God broke this thing open." And oh, he did. He broke it open. I'm telling you. In fact, we was in the church that night because it rained so hard we couldn't get through the mud to the tent that was there. So we had it in the church. And I will tell you, God moved in that place. You know what? I wonder. You know what? Somebody's done you wrong. They owe you. And you put them in a debtor's prison and you've locked that key, haven't you? Could I tell you something else? You're in there too. You say, "Well, if I let them go, you know what? If you owe me and I let you go, I have to pay the bill. If I justify you, I got to pay. Somebody's got to pay." But I'm going to tell you what, if you let them out, you not only let them out, but you get out. You know, as a pastor, I have had things like that where I've had to go ask people to forgive me. And I've had to say, "Listen, I'm going to tell you, I love you. I'm sorry. I've had these things," and hug their neck and ask them for forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you, there might be somebody, you said, but you don't know what they've done. I know I don't. And you don't know how they've wronged me, but I'm going to tell you right now, Ephesians 4:32 said, "Be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Tenderhearted, kind, forgiving one another, if you want forgiveness. Oh, I'll tell you, that night, how God moved.
And I'm going to tell you, old Brother Steve was down there, and I was down there, and we was bawling and we was hugging old Earl. You know what? It would be hard. What would you do? Somebody killed your mother. Somebody killed your dad. Somebody caused you to... He tried to live with family, but none of the family could take care of him. And he said, I have to depend on somebody to bring me here. I have to live up there, and I live up there. And he said, this is my family here at the church and everything. And when he told me that, listen, I want to give you this and I'm through. It's a little poem called You've Encouraged Me. When the way is dark and cloudy and the path is hard to see and you need to be encouraged, remember, you've encouraged me. The work of faith is taxing and it drives us to our knees. So as you wait to be encouraged, remember, you've encouraged me. I don't know your depth of sorrow. I don't know the trials you see. I don't know if you're discouraged. But I know you've encouraged me. When life's burdens crowd us to the limit, and discouraged you may be, sometimes our help comes from helping others the way you've encouraged me. When I was in school, me and my wife, sweethearts then, we actually got Mr. and Miss Sweetheart. But I didn't have a coat. And one of the players at Tennessee Temple let me borrow his coat to wear. I didn't have a shirt to wear because my daddy drank and gambled and we didn't have anything. Broken home, housing projects, and dad left mom. And I remember one time Vic Jenner Furniture Company come and took everything out of her house but a mattress and a table. And I saw my mom lean over there, and she said, we don't have anything. She cried. I said, Mama, we got one another. I remember just a little bitty. And I had two little brothers. I had David and Steve, who were much younger than me. And I said, Mom, it's going to be all right. We just cried. But I want to tell you what. When you think about this, and you know, you look back on these things, and I want to tell you what, thank God for people. Mr. Mayo, he's my shop teacher. I went to vocational school. He bought me a shirt. I sent this poem to him. I said, I want to thank you for being my teacher, and I want to thank you. He cried. He sent me back a letter thanking me. He said, you'll never know what that meant to me. I want to tell you what, if you would just be a Barnabas, there's somebody waiting to be encouraged, to be lifted up, to be helped, and you've got the answer. It may be in finances. It may be in fellowship. It may be in fellowship. It may be in forgiveness. It may be in some area, failure. Somebody's failed. You know what Paul had to say? Go get John Mark. He's profitable for me. He said that later. But you know what? He'd have never got to say that if it hadn't been for Barnabas. And I just wonder, pastors, listen. Christians, listen. We need to encourage one another. Brother Richardson needs encouragement. The Rochesters need encouragement. Brother Dave, you need encouragement. These dear pastors need encouragement. Brother Taylor, you need encouragement. Brother Donnie, you need encouragement. Brother Gene, you need encouragement. But Steve, oh, what a blessing it is to be encouraged for somebody to just pray and encourage you. It may be just some little thing, just a little card. By the way, this pastor appreciation. Have you appreciated your pastor? You know what? It means so much sometimes just to get a card. I know some little old ladies, they're on fixed income. Sometimes they put $5 in there. And I think, Lord, I don't need that $5. But that sweet thing wanted to give me that $5. And she's going to struggle to make it through this month because she's given me just something to say, preacher, I love you. This ain't much, but I just want you to know I care for you. I want to tell you, church, we better encourage one another. There's not encouragement out there. I'm going to tell you what, they're tearing down and destroying, but we better build up and love and help. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. Be there to help one another. I want you to bow your head in prayer. I wonder if the Rochesters would come back, and I just think we ought to have an altar of prayer tonight. And if there's just some area that God's just dealt with your heart about, you just want to come and give it to the Lord tonight. And you want to just let the Lord have full sway in your life. And or maybe somebody God's put on your heart, you'd like to just seal it with coming tonight and saying, by the grace of God, I'm going to that person. You may need to go tonight. You may need to call tonight. You may need to send the card or email. You may need to text them. And you know what? When you do, they may say, you know what? I thought the church was through with me. I thought, would nobody want me or care for me? Why don't you change that? You say, well, preacher, they've caused trouble. Yeah. But I want to tell you right now, they might not. They may be just like Mark if they could be restored in hell. Father, speak to hearts. Oh God, thank you for people being encouragement to me. I've just shared a few tonight. Oh, I've had a sweet wife. She's been so encouraging. She's cried, prayed with me, been there for me. Oh, I've just laid there in bed at night and I felt that hand come on my shoulder. And she said, honey, it's going to be all right. And I didn't even know she knew I was crying and broken, tore up. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And I've been there for her, Lord, during her cancer, during the times, Lord, just to tell her, I'm here, honey. I'll do everything I can. I'm gonna be with you every step of the way till we get home. God, would you help us tonight? Just let you have everything. To be an encourager. Somebody's waiting. Somebody's wanting to be encouraged. May God, you help us. Would you stand your feet with us?